Hello, everyone. Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Today we're in the Gospel of John, as we have been now for quite a while, going verse by verse through the Bible, through the Gospel of John, having a good time. Hope you are too. We come today to John chapter 19, and we begin our study right where we left off, and that would be in verse number 4. So I encourage you, if it is possible, to get a Bible and open it up to John chapter 19. We'll begin in just a minute. It's important for me to remind you that the Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. You need the Word of God. You know that? And so do I. We all do. If you're not saved, if you've never repented, you need to read the Word of God to see what God has to say about eternal life, because you know what? You are a heartbeat away from eternity. And you better not be rolling the dice with your immortal soul, because you're going to end up a loser. And so it's important for you to study the Word of God, for you to read the Word of God with an open heart. And Christian, you need to put down the psychology books, okay? You need to put down the psychology books. You need to put down the workbooks. You need to put down the how-to books. You need to put down all the latest evangelical fads and all this other stuff, all this man-made stuff, and you need to study the Word of God. You need to the pure Word of God. And you can study it with me at thebibleversebyverse.com. And all I do is teach it as clearly as I possibly can, without adding anything to it, without taking it away. It's not important what I think. It's only important what the Word of God says. So check it out at thebibleversebyverse.com. And if you have not already, begin a verse-by-verse study through the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your Word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I said we are in John chapter 19, verse 4. I want to go back and begin reading in verse 1. Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him. Pilate knew he was innocent. He lobbied on behalf of Jesus to the religious leaders. This man's innocent. I see no fault in him. He has not done anything worthy of death. I see no fault in him. Pontius Pilate was absolutely right. But he was absolutely wrong to then scourge Jesus. I don't know why he did it. As I suggested last time, perhaps he wanted to beat Jesus bloody, and that would convince the religious leaders to have Jesus set free. I don't know. But he was going about it the wrong way, because he was the man in charge. And as the man in charge, he had the power of life and death in this situation. If you're in charge of something, God expects you to lead correctly and do the right thing, even if it means you have to stand alone, even if it means you're going to upset people for doing the right thing or saying the right thing. God will hold you accountable at whatever level it is you are in charge of someone else, all the way down to just being in charge of yourself. But the more people you're in charge of, the more responsibility you have before God. And he dropped the ball horribly. So he has Jesus just ripped to shreds with the floggers. 2. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on a purple robe. So he claimed to be a king, and the soldiers are ruthlessly and mocking his claims of being a king. And it gets worse, verse 3. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. So we know that they also blindfolded him, and then they took turns punching him. And I have read someplace in the past that the soldiers, the Roman soldiers in a situation like this, used to play a sick game that they called hot hand, where they would blindfold a prisoner, and one of the soldiers would punch him in the face. And then they would say, "Now, guess who that was that punched you? And if you guess right, we won't punch you again." And then if the prisoner was foolish enough to play along, they would always lie and say, "Well, no, he's not the one who punched you. Here's another one coming." And so they were playing hot hand with Jesus and mocking him mercilessly. And he never said a word. You know, the thing is, these soldiers that were punching him and mocking his claims to be king, Jesus could have stood up and spoke these guys into non-existence. He could have turned them into piles of dust if he wanted to. But instead, he was going through with this mockery, this torture. He would go through with the cross in order to die and pay for the penalty, pay for the sins of these soldiers as well as all of us, just in case they want to repent at some point. And I don't know if any of them did, but if they didn't, they will know on Judgment Day that the one that they mocked as king truly was king. The one they punched in the face, the one they spit upon, was their king. More than that, their God, their creator, and now their judge. And they will hear, depart from me, you evildoers, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And the smoke of their torment has been going up for 2,000 years, going on forever. Verse 4, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, to the religious leaders and to the crowd of people too, the Jews who gathered, behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Well, then why did you just have him beaten bloody? But see, he's still trying to convince the religious leaders and the people that Jesus is innocent. Look. He's innocent. He's not done anything wrong, says Pilate. Pilate's own words condemn him for not releasing Christ immediately. He was a coward. If he would have dug ditches for a living, he would have been a cowardly ditch digger. If he would have washed camels for a living, he would have been a cowardly camel washer. But as it is, he was a cowardly leader in the Roman Empire. And he was in that position where he had the power of life and death. And like I said, he dropped the ball. Verse 5. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. Pilate's message to the Jews was this: look at him. He's just a man. I've just had him beaten. He looks like he's been through a meat grinder. He's so ripped to shreds. He's no threat to you Jews. Why do you want him dead? He's no threat to you Jews. He's no threat to Rome like you say he is. Pilate wants the Jews to say, yeah, you're right. You're right. Just let him go. But they have so much hatred in their hearts. Look at verse 6. When the chief priest, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Boy, they hated Jesus. And he never did anything wrong. Everything Jesus said was kind and true. Everything Jesus did was kind and true and helpful. And they just so hated him so much, with so much venom. No pity from these religious hypocrites. They must have sensed that Pontius Pilate thought Jesus Christ should be set free. So now they shout all the louder for his execution. And again, verse 6, when the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Boy, was that ever the wrong thing to say. Number one, I think Pontius Pilate actually was sickened and surprised by their unreasonable hatred for Jesus Christ. Pilate knew right from wrong. It's just that he did not act right and avoid wrong. So his knowledge didn't do him any good. In fact, unless he repented before he died, and there's nothing in history to indicate that he did, the flames of hell for Pontius Pilate are hotter than the flames of hell are for most people, because he sinned against the truth that he knew was truth. Even though he said, what's truth? He knew the truth about Jesus, that Jesus was innocent. He maybe didn't know that he was the Son of God, but he kind of had an inkling. But he certainly knew that he was innocent. 7. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. The evidence was plentiful. Not evidence against Jesus. Evidence in favor of Jesus. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Well, of course he did, because he was. And as I said, the evidence in favor of Jesus being who he said he was overwhelming. It was plentiful. But they didn't want to believe that Jesus was God. And so they demand he be put to death for blasphemy, that is, claiming to be God. I'd like to know what more Jesus could have done to prove that he was God than what he did during his 3+ years ministering. And to those of you who say that Jesus never claimed to be God, you're a liar. You are the blasphemer. You are the liar. Because even his enemies knew that he claimed to be God. Verse 8. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. See? He, like I said, he was nervous. Pilate was already nervous about killing Jesus because he knew Jesus was innocent. Now he hears that he claimed to be God. That, along with our Lord's reputation for miracles, really has the governor worried now. Verse 9. And went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, from where art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. See, he's digging in deeper. After hearing that Jesus claimed to be God, and after knowing his reputation for all of his miracles, even raising Lazarus from the dead, along with two other people from the dead, everybody knew about those things. Everybody believed them. Nobody denied them. Not even Jesus' worst enemies denied any of his miracles. So Pilate knew his reputation. Of course he did. And now he hears that he claimed to be God too. He's got to talk to Jesus more. So again, verse 9. And went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, from where art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. You know what? You know why Jesus didn't answer him anymore? You say, Jesus should have answered him. Maybe he would have repented. No. What more could Jesus say? What more could Jesus do than he's already done? Seriously. Pilate did not act on the crystal clear truth that he already knew about Jesus. So Jesus didn't give him any more truth, because Jesus himself said, do not cast your pearls before swine. Don't give truth to swine who will just trample it under their feet. That's what God tells us to do too. Jesus tells us, don't cast your pearls before swine. And at this point, giving Pilate more truth would be casting pearls before swine. Pilate and others like him throw truth down and trample it into the ground. So don't give them any more. You know, I deal with people sometimes who are not interested in truth, and I know they're not interested in truth. I will answer anybody's question because I don't know their heart. I will answer anybody's question concerning Jesus, concerning anything else in the Bible that is very clear. And I'll answer it, and if they have a follow-up question, I'll answer that too. But if I know after answering several questions and responding. They just keep digging for reasons to disbelieve the Word of God. I clam up. That's it. I'm not going to spin my wheels wasting my time with moral reprobates who know the truth, understand the truth, but willfully reject it. I'm not going to do that. Jesus didn't do that. 10. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Oh, Pilate really thinks he's something, doesn't he? The only thing Pilate has is arrogance if he thinks the life of Jesus is in his bloody hands. The Bible says we are not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And he's way over the top. He thinks he has the power of life and death over his creator God. 11. You know, so stop there. It's so easy to be smug and sophisticated when you talk about God and you talk about salvation. You can sit there and you can be smug and you can be sophisticated and you can talk smart. And you can say, well, this is what I think. This is what I think about God. I don't think that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Oh, I don't think that God would send anybody to hell. And if he would, I'm not interested in serving him or following him or believing in him. And you can just be so sophisticated. But you are a heartbeat away from eternity. And you are a heartbeat out of hell. And then all your smugness isn't going to matter. You can be brought face to face with reality. So Pontius Pilate, he really is arrogant. Notice, verse 11. Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. So stop right there for a second. Pontius Pilate, like any other civil ruler or spiritual leader, for that matter, only has authority because God has allowed them to have it. Pilate is no big shot. He thinks his position has made him a big shot. He's not a big shot. And neither is any other political or spiritual leader. God is the only big shot. And all these leaders, they're on trial. I don't care if you're a pastor, a Bible teacher, a spiritual leader of some sort, a Sunday school teacher, a bishop. I don't care if you're a president, a senator, a governor, a mayor, or whoever you might be. You're not a big shot. You're in that position and you're on trial. There's only one big shot. His name is Jesus Christ. And you're on trial in his courtroom. And so number one, you better take care of your own salvation by repenting and receiving Christ. And then you better operate under the Spirit of God by exercising your authority in line with Scripture. Or you're in double trouble. Verse 11 again. Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And that would be Caiaphas, the high priest, the guy that Jesus met with earlier in that mock trial when he was first arrested. Caiaphas, the high priest, Judas, the betrayer, and the Israelite people. You can take your pick, or you can choose all above, because they're all more guilty than Pontius Pilate. They had the scriptures, which pointed to Jesus Christ. And yet they rejected him anyway. And so again, the extra knowledge made them even more guilty than Pilate. Pilate sinned by condemning an innocent man, or not rescuing him, not delivering him. That was his sin. Now, he didn't know the scriptures. He was ignorant. These other people that I mentioned, the high priest, the Jewish people, the Israelite people, Judas, they all knew this truth. They all knew the truth. They had the evidence. They had the scripture. And they knew that Jesus fulfilled the prophecies concerning the Messiah. They knew he was the Son of God. They could tell if they measured it by the word of God in an honest fashion. They still rejected him. Their flames in hell are hotter than Pilate's. 12. And from then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." Like the Israelites and the religious leaders were concerned about Caesar. They couldn't stand Caesar. They hated Caesar's guts. They hated Pontius Pilate's guts. They hated Rome with a passion. They weren't concerned about the honor of Caesar being dragged through the mud by the Lord Jesus Christ. What a lie. They're still lying. They hated Caesar, and if they could have, they would have wrung his neck. Same with Pontius Pilate. Same with any Roman soldier. But they say, "Pilate, we're going to tell Caesar on if you don't execute this other so-called king. You know, we're here to defend Caesar's honor." Liars. When people hate, they lie. 13. When Pilate, therefore, heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. Pilate was afraid of Caesar. Pontius Pilate was afraid of the Israelites. He was afraid of the religious leaders. He was afraid of losing his job. He was afraid of everyone and everything except the one person he should have been afraid of, and that's Almighty God. If you fear God, you're not going to fear people. If you fear God enough, you're not going to be afraid of saying the truth, even if 99.999% of the people in the world can't stand you for doing it. I wouldn't listen to a preacher who doesn't fear God with a very strong fear. I wouldn't listen to him because he's going to please the people. If you have a people pleaser who's teaching the word of God or pastoring the church, you're looking at somebody who doesn't fear God. He's no different than Pontius Pilate. Fears everyone and everything except the one that he should fear, God Almighty. And even Jesus said, "Don't fear those who can just kill the body and after that can do nothing else. Fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell." So he was afraid of everyone and everything except Jesus Christ and Almighty God. He was an unprincipled, morally weak man. Pontius Pilate was a coward, which is why he's about to give in to the wicked Jewish leaders and have an innocent man, the Son of God no less, put to death. 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." Pontius Pilate, he's trying to get that last shot in there against the Jews who he hated. You know, they hated him, and he hated them right back. There was mutual hatred here. And so he wants to annoy the Jews any way he possibly can. I guess, maybe, Pontius Pilate blames them for his decision to put Christ to death. So he mocks them by saying, "See this bloody mess of a man? See this blob of chopped hamburger posing as a human being? See this man with his bones exposed from the scourging that he took, with his bodily organs dangling, with his muscles and his skin shredded like paper? See this man standing in this pool of blood? walking in this trail of blood. See this man? He's your king. What do you think of that? 15. But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." They made their choice. And they're going to live with it. And I don't feel sorry for godless Christ rejecting Israel. You won't find me in that camp. You won't find me in that camp that believes, as many or as some Zionist Christians believe, the state of Israel, secular, godless, Christ rejecting, Jesus hating, godless Israel, right or wrong. We got to stand by them, right or wrong. You're out of your mind. They're under the curse of God for rejecting their king. Oh, I know God's not through with them yet. And he will bless them. But that's only after they repent. And they ain't even close to that. They haven't even come close yet. Oh, I know there are individual Hebrews that come to Christ, and that's wonderful. But the godless state of Israel, right or wrong, we stand by them no matter what they do. Because they're Jewish? We have no king but Caesar. They haven't changed their mind on that. It's still what they believe as a nation, as a people. Again, with some exceptions where people have come to Christ, sure. But they're nothing special. And the theology that says that they are is wrong. And one famous preacher in this country, he's got a big following, he came right out and said, "Jews don't need Jesus. They got their own covenant with God." Really? Is that right? It's funny. The Apostle Paul said he wished that he could change places with the Israelites so that they could be saved. Paul wrote 1/3 of the New Testament. He says they're not saved without Christ. You say he is. You say people are, if they're Israelites. You better go hide in a corner on Judgment Day, mister, because it's going to come down hard on you for being such a liar and leading so many people astray. So, what did the Israelites do? They rejected God in favor of an evil, heathenistic king called Caesar. And they've been in trouble ever since they said this. "We have no king but Caesar." Ever since they did that. When you renounce God as your leader in favor of some pathetic, sinful human being, you are begging for trouble. And the Democratic Party in the United States about 8 years ago took all references of God out of their official party platform. And they've been going steadily downhill. They now are a party that promotes sin of the grossest kind. Even killing babies after they're born. There is no end to their evil. And I don't get into politics, but it applies. And where it applies, I talk about it. No different than Pontius Pilate. No different, I should say, than the Hebrews, who said, "We have no king but Caesar. We renounce God Almighty." And they've been in trouble ever since. Actually, let's stop there because I already touched on 15. I'm out of time anyway. You can continue studying the Word of God. Very quickly, I want to remind you to go to the Scripture verse-by-verse website and begin a verse-by-verse study through the whole Bible or any book of the Bible using my audio Bible message. Just click and listen. That's all you have to do, okay? Check it out at thebibleversebyverse.com. Please remember, I'm not underwritten by a large church or denomination. For over 30 years, this has been a faith ministry, which means I just teach the Word of God as you've heard me teach it today without watering it down. If you believe in that, you want to be a part of this, click the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. Until next time, so long.